around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on puppet moves for expanding its sphere of influence. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. These preparations are concealed, not publicized. The stakes are buried, not headlined. Its percentages are silent, not praised.
Billions of people just living out their lives, oblivious. Choice is an illusion created between those with power and those without.
I drink your milkshake! I drink it up!
Thank you, John Larson. I receive your kind words on behalf of all of our courageous members of the House of Representatives who want the best for the American people. And what we can do that is best for them in the next 24 hours is to pass affordable, accessible health care for all Americans. The best for all Americans is to have 32 million more people to have health insurance in our country.
Poor.
The best for...
Piece of stinking filth.
Sitting a shop. This is AJ of the InfoWars. Listen to the Shaliak. This is Alex Jones of InfoWars. Listen to Shaliak on the Cold Reality News and Report.
This is the coolest thing I have ever seen.
Well, hello there!
Today on Cold Reality Radio. My guests will be Clint Richardson, Patrick Jordan, Clint of the Corporation Nation, Patrick Jordan of VaccineFraud.com. We will be discussing a wide variety of topics today and going into those areas of reality that most steer away from. We will be taking it straight on today. Here on the UCY.TV Broadcasting Network, I'm the Shali Lama. It is Sunday, May 8th, Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers of the world. And if most mothers knew the information that we are going to talk about today, they would do one of two things. They would run away, or they might just take it seriously and be the nurturers that they are meant to be, were meant to be. But of course, they have been under attack. First and foremost, along with the rest of us. So again today, Patrick Jordan, Clint Richardson will both be joining me for the first time together on Cold Reality Radio. Let's take a listen.
We'll be right back.
Again, welcome to Cole Reality Radio here on the UCY.TV Broadcasting Network. UCY, run by one of the best people that I've never met, but have been a part of UCY.TV for a number of years now. I just can't even fathom. I'm not talking 10 or 20 or anything like that, but just my journey through Blog Talk Radio, through Oracle Broadcasting, and then finding a home on UCY.TV has been an absolute pleasure. And to work with, alongside people the caliber of Jules, happy Mother's Day to you, Jules, is a totally awesome, I'm very thankful. It's not Thanksgiving, but I'm very thankful for UCY and thankful for, the ability, to be able to do this, to be able to bring, today to bring Clint and Patrick together on the same program. We're going to talk about just a wide variety of things. We're going to I was talking to Clint the other day. He was talking about a blog post that he was doing. I don't know if he posted it yet, but it was about the Federal Reserve and all of the misconceptions that have been perpetuated out there regarding information and the details of the Federal Reserve Act and what actually took place back in the day, creature from Jekyll Island, different things like that. We're going to probably touch on some of that today. I was talking with Patrick Jordan yesterday, and we were covering, it's like when you talk to Patrick and Clint, it's like you just feel like you're, and many times I've spoken with them, so I've gathered and accumulated this information and my own cognitive dissonance that these things have happened and have been thrown at us in this way, this deceptive way. I'm still growing and moving forward as Clint has with his his documentaries, working in Utah with We Are Change, coming to a realization after realization that some of the things that he was, involved in and talking about and repeating out there were deceptions. And that's what growth is that moving past these deceptions, moving past, the things that Alex Jones tells you about the Constitution, still applying to us and so many different things. And of course, talking with Patrick Jordan and his knowledge, near 16 books, talking about just some of the most incredible information. And then of course, Clint and Patrick, just combining, and I don't think that there's any coincidences. I really don't. I think that someone like Clint, someone like Patrick, there was a collision and they were on a collision course, for each other and each other's information, as well as all of the amazing guests and people that joined Clint on his Corporation Nation broadcast over on RBN. In his earliest endeavors, he did a World Without Gray radio show. So like myself on Oracle, Blog Talk Radio Oracle, moving through the process of becoming aware of the deception, aware of the absolute farce that freedom is, the farce that liberty is, and how through the 14th Amendment we were all put into we weren't the slaves were not free and to be what everyone else was. It was like much like what I learned about No Child Left Behind, where they didn't, what they did was they brought the curriculum down, dumbed down everyone else. Oh, this is going to be horrible. He's horrible. He's saying kids are stupid and junk. Now, what they did was they brought the whole curriculum down for the 5, maybe 10% that had learning disabilities and were challenged by learning, which comes from the wasps and bad food and just garbage. And wasps are nurses, by the way, who inject, much like a bee or a wasp will sting and inject something into you. And you know, with Patrick's vast research, I mean, he just one after the next, he just drops all these different things in this timeline, all this information in timelines that you say, this stuff's been going on forever. This stuff, these things, this evil has been going on forever. And it's just an absolute mind-blowing reality. And most people don't want to be in that. They don't want to be in that. They shy away, they move away. The cognitive dissonance just takes over. Case in point, last night went to this music hall where just a bunch of people hang out and play. And so I took it upon myself to bring up some very interesting facts about who the leadership is in this country and the this farce of an election, which is coming to a head, and it looks as if, and it's right on target for what they said, Trump and Hillary are going to be going head to head, and they are related. Whoa, they are related. And just bringing to, you know, just saying to people, this young woman and this young black man saying, hey, you know, Barack Obama is not his real name. Barack Obama is not his real name. His name is Barry Dunham. And they're like, whoa, what? Said his name is Barry Dunham. You can look it up. His mother's name is Ann Dunham. She was a white woman. I see. That's the thing. Most people, I mean, I even gathered that just by, you know, I guess if I wasn't involved in doing podcasts, talking about things of this nature, I would not have known who his mother was. Most people, if you ask them, they would probably say, oh, yes, his mother, you know, father was white, his mother was black. I don't really know that much about him. I just voted for him because he wasn't white. And I think it was time for hope and change. I guess that would be a really, really good question to ask. I'd be like, listen, man, this isn't racially, you know, charged or anything. Is Barack Obama, he's considered to be a black man. Do you know who his parents were? You know anything about his mother? Anything about his father? And just to see what they would say, how they would answer about Barack Obama. They think that that's his name. They think that he came out of the womb and his name was Barack Obama. That his mama named him Barack Obama. I don't, you know, I heard the name in 2004, junior senator, when I voted for John Kerry over George W. Bush. And then not that long after that, find out that, you know, they're cousins. And they are also both Skull and Bones members of Yale University. So secret, you can't even talk about it. You know, when Kerry was running and he was on, and who was the guy? It was on Sunday morning. He was he had a heart attack, passed away. Tim Russert, I believe his name was. And he asked him about Skull and Bones, and he was just kind of like being real playful, like, hey, you know, Skull and Bones, you know, you guys are both, you know, in that, and can you tell us anything about that? Wow. And then you see them kind of like, oh, man, that's when I was masturbating in a box. I can't really say the thing. I can't probably call him Frankenstein because he's, you know, and he looks even more today like some kind of Frankenstein monster than, you know, than back then, of course. But yet another bloodline individual that is, you know, has been groomed for, I guess maybe not, just to be there in 2004 for Georgie Dubs, and to be there, you know, as the, what is he, the Secretary of Defense now. So, you know, and, you know, he's Kerry, John Kerry, there he is on the stage, and a Skull and Bones member. I don't know what the whole psyop was around him being in Vietnam. Did he actually fight? Why was he even there, you could say? Was it just, oh, yeah, you'll go over there. You won't be in any harm's way. And then, of course, he spoke out about different things that were going on there. Now, was that a psyop? Who knows? A lot of people didn't like him because of what he said. Oh, he spoke ill of the troops, or he spoke ill of the military. So there's no way that he could be the commander in chief. Well, of course he can, because he's of the bloodline. But it was critical to have George W. Bush in there for 8 years, just like it was critical or mission critical to have William Jefferson Clinton, and just like it was mission critical with this joker that's in there now, with Barry Dunham. Offspring of some of the original Indiana landowners. So in a couple minutes, I'm going to bring Clint in, and then Patrick's going to call in, and we will join it together, and then we will just kind of have a Sunday morning discussion here on Cold Reality Radio. As I said this week, Trump has all but secured the nomination. Cruz drops out. Now, is it just a psyop that, you know, Trump had his television show on, and he was hiring people, and he was doing all these things, being very businesslike, you know, his corporation, Trump Corporation, and now he's going to go up against Medusa for the presidential nomination from the people that vote. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and see what we get here. See what we got. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and add Clint to the call there. And then Patrick's going to come in, and we're going to get started, as I said. Clint, good morning. Do I have you?
Greetings.
Greetings. How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Pretty good. Okay. Yeah, I was looking through there, and I wanted to, after speaking with you the other night, wanting to get a glimpse and read into the Fed article, but then I started reading the IDU article, which was, you know, just another, you know, just a brain shaker, And there's Patrick. So let's get Patrick in there.
I'm here.
Patrick, good morning.
How do?
Very well, very well. Thank you. I got Clint, so we're all the trifecta here. And
I've just been, you know, I was just filling time, and someone recommended I look into the history of civil registration.
Mm-hmm.
Just your birth certificates, your marriage certificates, and all of that. It's really interesting. I hadn't considered this before, but as I'm looking into where all the birth certificate stuff started, I'm seeing that everything started right around the time of the Reconstruction period in America, which, you know, we had the 14th Amendment. We have the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment are called the Reconstruction Amendments after the Civil War. And, you know, Horace Greeley is famous for quoting, you know, for saying that we were all basically turned into slaves, not freed. The slaves were freed, but the free men were turned into slaves, and so it was kind of a wash. We all became, quote-unquote, equal. And I'm noticing that every country around the world, from Australia, basically all the countries of the United Kingdom especially, all of their birth registrations just happened to start between 1856, 1838 actually began in Australia, and about 1864 or so, which was right around the time that it happened in America. So it seems like at the same time the entire world was suddenly mandated to be put into a birth certificate type of situation. All births, all marriages and everything were suddenly required to be registered by each country. And I find that very interesting, considering, you know, we're supposed to be all independent and stuff, and yet every country around the world suddenly has this birth registration thing. I was just kind of tripping out on that and wanted to put that. And then I also just went to the United Nations, where it defines its civil registration systems, and it's pretty scary when you start looking at this and you start thinking of that sort of notion of what registration is. You know, you could call it, if you want to be so bold, you could call it that sort of notion of the mark of the beast, where everybody has to have that that registration, that biometric identity, to be registered so that you could buy, sell, and trade. And that's what I'm finding more and more, is, again, they're making all these refugees around the world, and again, we don't realize that we are refugees as American citizens, because we're public, we have no land of our own, so we're always trespassing on someone else's land, which is why we're always under someone else's law. And that's what they're doing to all these people around the world, is they're causing everyone to be displaced from their homeland, if you will, and turned into refugees that then must go to another country. And in order to do that, of course, you got to be registered. You have to, you know, you got 1 billion people out there that haven't been registered yet, so you gotta stick it to them. You gotta get them biometrically identified, and you gotta put them. I mean, it's getting kind of scary as I'm looking into this. I just wanted to bring that up. Sorry.
Well, time for another census, I guess, right?
Yeah, the United Nations International 2020 Census, in accordance with the International Program for Accelerating the Improvement of Vital Statistics and Civil Registration Systems, and the World Program for the Improvement of Vital Statistics, to be exact.
Well,
but the 2020 census is certainly coming up very, very soon. Resolution adopted by the Economic and Social Council on 10 June 2015 for the 2020 World Population and Housing Census Program. Ha!
Wow, we're just being herded, man.
Oh, yeah. And people are just loving it. Yeah. They're loving it like McDonald's.
Yeah, they're loving it. Patrick, thoughts on that?
Say it again.
Just the thing that Clint is talking about. I know that we just had a census in 2010, I believe, where I never really answered the door. I knew they were there, and I was like, I'm just not doing this. I'm not going to do this. And they just kept coming back. And I was like, just not going to do it. Not going to do it. So I never participated in the 2010 census, and now we're going to it sounds like this is a global registration.
That was actually the 2010 World Population and Housing Program census that they didn't tell us. It was actually United Nations. They just said it was a national. But, yeah, it was international.
Oh, there you go.
And see, they're liars. What they will tell you and put in your hand as print material is the answering of these questions are required by law. But I learned from Ralph Winterode, if you simply take their citation and do something really strange, like look the damn thing up, the only thing that's required by law is that when they take your information, which is not required to be volunteered, that they must then protect your information. That's what's required by law. And so what they do in print and in words is actually engage in fraud, which is fully allowed in their system. They're lying to you. You must answer these questions. No, it's read the code.
I didn't even get into the conversation with them. I just didn't answer the door.
Yeah.
I knew it was coming. I'm like, I'm just not doing this. I'm not going to be, you know, I've in a lot of ways, obviously I've been collectivized, but it was just one of my stances over the last 10 years to say, no, sir.
What Patrick is kind of saying is, hey, you're required to answer your door when the doorbell rings. No, when the doorbell rings, I have the choice of either answering or not answering. Kind of like as an agent, you have the choice of fulfilling certain requests. When the doorbell rings and the census is there, you certainly have a choice. Now, the real kick in the nuts, though, is that at some point your choice is what's going to get you benefits. Your choice is what's going to get you the ability, again, to buy, sell, and trade. So if you don't do this in the future, then they certainly can pass a law, any law they want, that says, well, if you didn't take the census and we didn't get your information, your vital statistics, well, then we're not going to let you get a credit card, or we're not going to let you get this cashless, you know, identity or whatever it is that they're doing in the future. So there's something to be said about choice, but there's also something to be said about the inducement aspect that Patrick is talking about, which is the fraud. And remember, we're talking about persons that are not ourselves, statuses, legal statuses that are not ours. The law applies to the name, not to us. And if we choose to use the name and the number of government, then we must basically do what they say, even though they say it's choice. It's always voluntary. But if you actually want to use the property of another, you got to remember there's volunteerism is another word for the doctrine of master and servant. You cannot forget that. That's the most important aspect to all these people out there who say, I want to live in a voluntary society. I'm like, you ass, you already do. You just don't realize what the word volunteer means in the legal system. It means a doctrine of master and servant. You're volunteering to be the subject of a government because you're participating in a straw man, a name, a number, and all the benefits and all that stuff that you cannot have unless you voluntarily become the servant of that master. That's how it works, man.
Yeah, and I saw that. Probably halfway through that article. Go ahead, Patrick.
The solution from my perspective then is because Clint had described us as refugees. You have to have standing. They always talk about that in court, and especially like the Lakota Nation. They're trying to negotiate with the federal government, and the government kicks them out of court by saying, you don't have standing. We must have a physical, you know, and this is more than just the abstract. We must have a physical place to make a stand. And if you can't even claim the land that's under your feet and you're paying taxes on it, which is tribute, according to the book of Deuteronomy, you know, it's like, we come in peace, give us money or we'll kill you, then, you know, we have no standing. That, to me, is like the first, it's the foundation that we must begin with before anything else can ever be even, like, pursued.
And if you want to know what that really means, all you have to, well, you can read my book, but all you have to understand is what the feudal system is. If you understand how the feudal system worked, where everything was owned through the king, nothing, no one actually had their own land. Everything was owned through the king, which is basically the king. When you're talking about the king, you're talking about a passable corporation, a corporation soul, essentially, that gets passed from one, just like the Pope. The Pope is immortal. The man is mortal. But the Pope, the office, is immortal. It's a corporation soul passed from person to person to person to person. So if you understand the feudal system, then you can understand what system we're under, where everything is under the kingship. Well, a kingship is also known as a people, the people, we the people, which we, the public, are not a part of. And so all of our lands are held through the landholders. We're tenants in a fiefdom or a fee, what you'd call a feudal system. It's just the names have changed to protect the not-so-innocent.
Hmm. Have you guys jumped into the Fed yet?
Oh, not yet. No, I was just kind of getting.
Okay, I like to do little segues. So, you know, thematically, in what you guys are talking about, what is included in the land is also what is under the earth. So, gold and silver, by definition, belongs to the king, and it's written that way. And so all these people that are going, oh, you know, FRNs, you know, they're debt notes, and I don't want them, and I've got silver and gold. It's like, no, you don't, man. All of that, the ownership. See, and again, it's like Clint is saying that, you know, you're a holder, and, you know, you used to hold a fee to half, T-H-A-L-F, to half and to hold, meant that you were, you know, party to the land that you were on, that was granted to you by the baron, that was granted to him by the king. And all of this, you're just, it's usufruct. And we really, really, really have to learn the words, because that is where all this stuff opens up. We're in usufruct of something that is claimed by another.
Indeed. And top story here says, Kerry declares borderless world. Obama says, profound changes lie ahead. My election did not create post-racial society. So, yeah, we are, like Clint has said so many times, and we've heard that this is world government, you know, taking, you know, becoming, I guess, what, self-evident, you could say. It's going to be, that, hopefully, it wasn't a bad choice of words. I know it's a very powerful in Clint's describing of, you know, being free himself, being self-evident, that we all should be, you know, self-evident in, you know, with regards to many different things that are very important than things that are not. But so when you started talking about the Fed the other day, you know, there's a lot of people out there that think that, you know, the Fed is its own separate entity outside of government. And we spoke about the creature from Jekyll Island. It turns out that the author was actually the creature. And so elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, it's such a vast subject, but you've got to think logically, as Patrick has done so brilliantly in so many of his works. He said, stop thinking of things in your perspective. This is you know, people want to know why I can figure things out, and I keep telling them the same thing over and over. I don't look at things in my perspective. I'm not looking for my opinion. I already know my opinion of what should be right and what should be wrong. I don't need to find that. I don't need to go to the internet to support my own opinion. What I need to do is go to the source. I need to go to the original source. What is the original source of the Federal Reserve? Congress. Period. End of story. It is not some creature. It is not some bankers on some island. It is Congress. What influence any bankers might have had, and you have to understand who is, you know, I'm going to ask you a question. You're either going to pass or fail. Who is or what is the only actual banker in existence? Who makes the money? What is it that makes money? Government.
If you're going to follow the Constitution, only Congress has the ability to coin money.
Yeah, I mean, but if you think about it, the nation, any nation is a nation because of its currency. That's what it is. Now, just because banks have the permission through Congress, through its creation, the Federal Reserve, does not mean anything. It just, I mean, the Federal Reserve was created not to prevent fraud, but to control it, to organize it. All these
banks, oh my God, that's funny.
If you read the history of the Fed and what was happening before the Federal Reserve, in all actuality, was actually a good thing when you look at, and again, perspective, the, oh, Clinton said the Federal Reserve's good. Oh, piss off. Okay? The fact that banks were able to create money, again, out of thin air, as they like to say, without any regulation, without any oversight, these banks were so criminal. Cities and municipal corporations were taking advantage of this, doing things that were absolutely horrible. Organized crime was rampant, and so all they did with the Fed was organize the crime into a central bank and a central system, not just a bank, but a system that actually required banks to become members of the Federal Reserve before they could print their funny money. And in order to do that, here's the great misconception, they have to have stock in the Federal Reserve. And so the typical, basically unenlightened and uneducated person will say, oh my God, banks have stock in the Federal Reserve, therefore they own the Federal Reserve. Which is just, you know, okay, I can understand the mistake because, you know, that's what Eustace Mullins did. I liked Eustace Mullins. He did some really great work. He saw that banks had a stock or a stake in the Federal Reserve, and he thought mistakenly that that meant that the banks owned and created the Federal Reserve. Then comes along G. Edward Griffin, who everybody just basically wants to suck his cock because he's this – this old man, and because he's an old wise man, somehow he's right, and everything he says is crap, right? So, the Federal Reserve even has to come out and say, look, the truther movement is full of crap. There's no truth in the truth that's being promoted by the truth movement. So they have this section on their website, right? Again, go to the source, people. They actually made a section. Because of so many, you know, Alex Jones and the quote-unquote InfoWar, right, InfoWarriors, and here it is, Federal Reserve website. Just go to the facts section, FAQS, which usually means questions. Who owns the Federal Reserve? This is on the Federal Reserve website. It's basically calling everybody out there a complete ass because they don't go to any kind of source. Who owns the Federal Reserve? The Federal Reserve is asking that question and answering it for you. The Federal Reserve System fulfills its public mission as an independent entity within government. It is not owned by anyone and is not a private profit-making institution. And people are actually going to look at that and say, oh, that's a lie. Really? That's a lie? You go to the source, you're going to say it's a lie. Well, instead of actually looking and saying, well, what does it mean then? What does it mean to be independent? What does it mean to be private? What does it mean to be public, right? What does these words mean? And, it, you know, it turns out the best example I can use for what an independent agency of government. And if you look up independent agency of government, you're going to find the post office. You're going to find a Social Security Administration, which is set up exactly as the Federal Reserve Board with governors and all that crap. All the same board is on the federal, the post office and the Social Security Administration. You've got the Securities and Exchange Administration. What does independent actually mean? See, people aren't asking the right question. Oh, when it's independent, it has nothing, it doesn't do any, government has no control over it. Well, that's what Congress wants you to think, you ass. Right? I mean, think about it, man. If you can make an enemy out of your own creation and have people look at your own creation, your own weapon, as the enemy, even though you totally control it in every way, shape, and form, but you give it independence, just like McDonald's franchises have independence from the mother corporation. But if they get out of line, guess what? Big old bad Ronald McDonald's going to come in and kick the ass of whoever's getting out of line in the franchise. That's all it is. That's all the Federal Reserve Banks are a franchise of Congress. What does Congress do? Do you think Congress, for instance, is going to go and actually watch over the post office 24/7? Do you think that the congressman is going to be able to go to every single post office in the nation and oversee the post office? No! Do you think that Congress is going to personally oversee everything it creates? Absolutely freaking not. There's not enough congressmen to go around. And so they give it independence. This is called political independence, not natural independence. Natural independence would mean it would be completely separate. Political independence, again, is like a McDonald's franchise compared to the mother corporation. Okay? It bears the name of the federal United States. Yes, it's federal. Anybody who says that the Federal Reserve is not federal is a total, total either useful idiot or controlled up. One or the other. You can take your guess as to who I'm talking about. That notion is so ridiculous. That would suggest that a creation of Congress is somehow not part of the federal government. That all the things that all the independent agencies, including the post office, including this, including all those things are somehow not part of the federal government.
Right. So you know how deflection. It's a deflection saying, okay, absolutely. So don't look at Congress. Don't look at the people that are really, the focal point. They'll say, this is a separate entity that was created outside of us, and they're bad. Don't look at us. They're bad.
They're meanies. They won't answer our questions. Well, yeah, that's because you passed a law, which somewhere in my blog post, I actually put the law up. The law says that the chairman of the Federal Reserve is not allowed to answer questions to Congress when asked publicly. In public forums, certain information is to be kept secret. A government cannot exist without its secrets, period, end of story. The whole concept of being under the rose, why you see the rose symbol all over the place in government buildings, because that's why you have secretary. Secretary just means secret. Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of this. That means secret keeper. Everything is based on a secret. So when the chairman gets up, and this is what people use to quote-unquote prove the independence of the Federal Reserve, that it's not federal, and that the big bad chairman of the Federal Reserve can do anything he wants, da-da-da-da-da, all that shit that's pumped into your veins by Alex Jones and G. Edward Griffin and all these guys that you think are heroes that are just misleading you, whether it's purposeful or not, I still don't really comprehend that. But it's a bunch of crap because the source, the reality is so obvious and in your face. Congress created it. Congress can end it. You know, even Ron Paul, which I have exposed as a complete fraud, wrote a bill that wasn't audit the Fed. Before the audit the Fed bill, it was the end the Fed bill. The end the Fed bill explained and pointed to the parts in the code that said that the Federal Reserve assets would go right back to government. Not because it's independent and free of government, because government owns it's federal, for God's sake. And so his end the Fed bill, I'm like, well, how can Congress end the Fed if the Fed is independent of Congress?
So basically telling that you're going to give back what you never took.
Right. Yeah, nothing about the hoax, the patriot mythology, the truth about the Federal Reserve, nothing actually makes sense if you just stop and think about it for one little second. So the Fed chairman gets up in front of Congress all arrogant and cocky, and he says, I'm not going to answer that question. And people look at that, they go, look, he said no, he's not, he's higher than Congress. No, Congress passed a law quite some time ago that said the Fed chairman is not allowed to answer those questions, and Congress milks that law that allows the Fed to deny Congress in a public forum where prying eyes can see, because no one's smart enough to actually go and read a financial report, a CAFR, which is the audit of the Federal Reserve. Oh, no, the Federal Reserve doesn't have an audit. Really? Really? Do you not read the source? Do you not go to the Federal Reserve Act, the original act, where it says, yes, the Federal Reserve will be audited? And, you know, for 100 years now, over 100 years, there's a CAFR, Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, or Annual Financial Report, every single year that says everything you could possibly want to know. I've sent that to people like James Corbett. I've sent it to people. No one talks about it because it doesn't fit in with the conspiracy model. It's Congress creating a monster, blaming, you know, oh, well, our hands are tied. We can't do anything. The big bad Fed is there. It's the bankers. What can we do? They control the money. That's such a it's so ridiculous. Again, let me read this, because you know you can tell I'm upset about this, because you know when I came out with all this information, I'm like, you guys, you got to look at this. This is here's the source. I can't tell you how many people when I came out against Ron Paul and showed what crap the whole story of Ron Paul is. I can't tell you how many people just stuck knives in my back and hated me because I was ruining their truth. Who owns the Federal Reserve? Federal Reserve System fulfills a public mission as an independent entity within government. Notice it's very strict. It says within government. It is not owned by anyone, and it is not private, not a private profit-making institution. Most people hear that and just absolutely go mad. As the nation's central bank, the Federal Reserve derives its authority from the Congress of the United States. It is considered an independent central bank because its monetary policy decisions do not have to be approved by the president or anyone else in the executive legislative branches of government. Again, neither does the post office, neither does just about any other independent agency, and there's dozens and dozens of independent agencies of government. Okay? It does not receive funding appropriated by Congress, and the terms of the members of the Board of Governors span multiple presidential and congressional terms. However, the Federal Reserve is subject to oversight by the Congress. If it was independent in the way people think, it would not be. Which often reviews the Federal Reserve's activities and can alter its responsibilities by statute. Therefore, the Federal Reserve can be more accurately described, and here it is, it's correcting the fallacy right here. It can be more accurately described as independent within the government rather than independent of government. So it just destroys the myth, and rightfully so, because the myth is stupid.
Well, they started off by making it look like it's something else, and then figuring people will read it up to that point, be outraged, and say, see, well, then go down into the details.
They've got their barkers. They've got their Alex Joneses and all those people out there who are barking bullshit to people, and people eat it up. It goes on. It explains the stock. The 12 regional Federal Reserve banks, which were established by Congress, not by bankers, but by Congress, as the operating arms of the nation's central banking system, are organized similarly to private corporations. Now, remember, the maximum flaw is that similitude is not sameness. Very important that what is similar is not necessarily the same. Okay, so it's organized similarly to a private corporation, possibly leading to some confusion about ownership. For example, the Federal Reserve banks issue shares of stock to member banks. Oh my God, stock! That means they own the banks! No, let's explain. Let's let the logic flow in here. However, owning Federal Reserve Bank stock is quite different from owning stock in a private company. The Reserve Banks are not operated for profit, and ownership of a certain amount of stock is, by law, a condition of membership in the system. In other words, you cannot print funny money unless you're a member of the Federal Reserve System. Unless you are connected to the very source of money, you cannot practice the federal, reserve banking, all that stuff. Again, because it was so out of control before the reserve system took over and controlled and organized it into the crime it is today. Right? I don't support this thing. I just want to know the truth. I want to know the truth against any false truths that have been sold to me by these quote-unquote info warriors, okay? The stock may not be sold, traded, or pledged as security for a loan. Dividends are, by law, paid to member banks at a maximum rate of 6%, determined in part by each member's bank's total assets. So, again, it's a profit-sharing thing. Great. Everything in the world basically does the same thing. So, again, a condition of membership. It is actually required by law that a bank invest into the Federal Reserve System. It is not a choice. It is not an ownership stock. It is purely a token of membership and nothing else. That's it.
If you're benefiting from our criminality, then you're going to pay your VIG, right? You're going to pay your what do they call it at the unions?
Yeah, exactly.
Union dues. Your union dues.
Same thing. So let me tell you what I don't want to take up all the time today, but let me tell you one other just perfect example of the complete crap that comes out in the so-called truth movement. I used to be a big part of the truth movement. Okay,
yeah, I mentioned that in the beginning. I mentioned that your growth through the system where you mentioned Alex Jones, and there was a lot of things that you grabbed from that and repeated and parroted out as I did. But you know, your growth outside of that and realizing that large portions of the alternative media, are just as full of shit as the mainstream media.
Absolutely. And to me, the truth movement is like cocaine. You either do it and you get stuck in it and it basically causes a heart attack, or you do it a couple of times, you realize, I don't really like the way I feel when I'm sucking or sorting up this truth, and I'm going to go look to see if it's freaking real, right? It's all BS. It's all a big freaking hoax.
I like the way that it made me feel. I just knew that I didn't have the money to be able to support this kind of radical change in my life.
Good point, because what I've found with all these conferences is that most of the time, people like me, and I held a conference, tried to hold a conference in here in Utah, which is the worst place you could possibly do it. People like me go in debt to try to pay for these guys to come out and speak their truths, and you can't make enough money to make it worthwhile. I went into debt just to throw a conference where, 50 people might have shown up? And these guys want speaking fees, and they want to sell their books, and they're not happy with anything. I mean, it's ridiculous, the whole thing. So, yeah, it's a very bad taste in my mouth. And like I said, you either wake up from your own awakeness, as they call it, or you get stuck in this loop of quote-unquote thinking that everybody else is wrong and you're right, when in fact you're totally full of crap and you're arrogant about your ignorance. Government. So Suzanne Posell, okay, one of my big, in my opinion, enemy of all people, Suzanne Posell. This, I got to say it, man. I've never said this on air. I don't get the chance to say these words anywhere else. This cunt.
Oh.
She has such crap that comes out of her whole, her, she does this Occupy corporatism. Absolute nothing but trash that comes out. And all the truth people love her because the stuff that comes out of her website is just so awful. It's so wonderful, though, to those who love the lie. They love it. So her big thing was here's the Occupy corporatism. The title was Government Preparing for the End of the Federal Reserve Charter in 2013. Absolutely no source, no nothing. It says the Federal Reserve Charter began on December 23rd, 1913. This charter was good for 100 years, ensuring the Federal Reserve's control over the United States currency, blah, 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 blah. You go and you look, and you see that, yeah, okay, the first central bank had a 20-year charter. The second, and it ended, and they got rid of it. The second central bank had a 20-year charter. They ended, and they got rid of it. Federal Reserve comes along. It has a 20-year charter, but like 12 years later, the McFadden Act basically ended and made it a perpetual charter, meaning it doesn't end. All right? Put it in perpetuity. And here's this woman, if you can call her that. I think she's a Jew myself. This charter was good for 100 years. And so she's saying that there was a 100-year charter and that's going to end. And it got the truth movement into a fury. You got guys, and this is where you see the parrots. This is where you see the mockingbirds. The mockingbirds just go out in hundreds, in droves, and they start repeating what Suzanne Posell put forward. I don't know where she got the information. She doesn't list any source. She doesn't list any, I have no idea. But all of a sudden, the whole quote-unquote movement is chirping and about the 100-year charter. So the Federal Reserve, again, has to come out and say, look, stop calling us. Stop lying about us. Stop saying that we have a 100-year charter. So here's what the Federal Reserve Federal Reserve, is the Federal Reserve Act going to expire? And it says no. And if it was honest, it would be like, no, you assholes. The Federal Reserve Act of 1913, which established the Federal Reserve as the central bank of the United States, originally chartered the Federal Reserve banks for 20 years. But in the McFadden Act of 1927, the Congress rechartered the Federal Reserve banks into perpetuity. And so there is currently no expiration date or repeal date for the Federal Reserve. But, I mean, the headlines that were coming out, because guess what? It just happened to be that the Federal Reserve, after 100 years, the charter was going to expire on none other than December 21st, 2012.
Right before the end of the world.
Oh, my God, it's the end of the world. This proves the end of the world. And these people on these truth sites, these forums, they're like, why is nobody talking about this? Why is this not being made public? Why? And it turns into this big orgasm, this big orgy of crap, all started, from what I can tell, by Suzanne Posell or whoever started it before her. One parrot, you know, from every parrot comes 10 more. And it just multiplies. It's so ridiculous. And here's the Federal Reserve. I have no doubt that the chairman of the Fed and Congress just sit there and just laugh at us because such idiots. And they have to do this just to keep up with the propaganda, the rumor mill. So yeah, people are like, yeah, it's the end of the world. It's all part of the Mayan calendar because the Mayans somehow knew that the Federal Reserve, the third central bank was going to come along and you know, just ruin everything, right? It's just, I'm just so, my passion, my anger, my, literally my hatred for this truth movement is apparent right now, because this is one of my big, big subjects that I'm just like, nobody's listening. Nobody actually wants to see the source. They want to stay in the lie. They don't want to go to any kind of source. They don't want to see that Congress, what does it say? What did I just read, man? Congress is the one that put the Federal Reserve into perpetuity. It wasn't the bankers. It wasn't the Fed chairman. Congress voted to change in the McFadden Act of whatever I said, 1929, to create an immortal central bank that only they can end. Do you understand? Do you understand? That's Congress. That has nothing to do with this independent private bank. No, it's not private, and it's not independent the way you think. So that's my rant for today. I could go through all kinds of other stuff that is totally false, but that should be enough to show you that these guys are yanking your chain in a big way, and that all your efforts to end the Fed and all of that, you see, everything is designed to keep you from blaming Congress. Oh, sorry, our hands are tied. Oh, we can't do anything. You know, it's an independent agency. We can't. Yeah, that's because you made the rules so that you didn't have to. You're literally taking away the responsibility for yourself, pretending that it's on the Federal Reserve and that you can't do anything about it, which technically is true until you change the law, which could happen today or tomorrow. Right? So it's just a big scam. And meanwhile, nobody ever goes to the source. And guess what the source is? The source is government. The source is Congress. Remember one very important thing. The word conspiracy, the word combination, and the word confederacy are the same words. When I say confederacy, I say conspiracy. Those two words are the same word, a plan between two or more people to harm, to injure, to defraud, to cause people to become something they're not. That is what Congress is. Congress is the very conspiracy. That's why there is no other conspiracy. You know, there's Congress will never create a conspiracy. There is no conspiracy in government. All the conspiracy theories mean absolutely nothing because the conspiracy already exists. If it already exists, it can't really create others, right? So the source of conspiracy is government. That's why there is no conspiracy when it comes to a court of law. Why? Well, the court is a conspirator with government. It exists because of government. It's not separate. It's not independent. The Fed is a conspirator of government. It's not separate. It's not independent. It's part of the federal government, which is the Confederacy, the combination, the conspiracy. A confederacy just means a conspiracy where people get together and take an oath, a binding oath to each other to harm others. That's all it is. And so there's two forms of conspiracy. A government that's created, a combination, or something that you or I do against government. But government never can be charged with conspiracy because its entire existence is a conspiracy, a get-together, a plan, an oath, bonded union between two or more persons. That's why you're never going to. That's why the whole Alex Jones model is crap. That's why Alex Jones never comes on and says, hey, remember that thing we reported on? Remember that big story that we broke? Yeah, we actually took that to court and won. Well, no, you're never going to take it to court. You're never going to get a judge to say it's a conspiracy and charge Congress. You're never going to do that. It's a sovereign state. You have no power to do that. You're a renter. You're a tenant.
He'll say, well, you know, we could get in there and sue these people, but then, you know, I mean, it would just take a lot of time, and, you know, then I'd be away from the show, and then David Knight would come in, and he sounds a lot better than I do. And sounds a little bit, says some of the same bullshit that I do, but, you know, overall.
But if I can't,
I'm just not going to sue him. I just don't have the time. I got to fight the info war.
If I can't think of anything to say, I just go, right? Yeah, it's just so ridiculous.
We're coming for you, globalists. We're coming for you.
We don't realize it, but we are the biggest fools out there. I realized that early on, and I've been trying to tell people that to my own unpopularity ever since. And you know, at this point, I've kind of mastered it. So I completely understand after reading all the comprehensive annual financial reports, literally the audits of all these governments, you know, once you read the audits, everything starts making sense. Everything is very clear, and they tell you everything you want to know in these audits, although not necessarily forthcomingly. You really have to read. And the Federal Reserve audits, the annual financial reports, which are required by law, by Congress, in other words, are sometimes 600-700 pages of stuff that's very difficult to read, you know. But it tells you, when it says it's a nonprofit entity, I did a blog a while back that said, hey, you know, the Fed just paid to Congress $75 billion, I believe it was, in interest. It's not like they keep the interest they charge on the they're the lapdog, the agent of the federal And they pay that interest back to Congress, and then Congress will usually sink that into more gold or whatever to fund the Federal Reserve. And that's another thing. Federal Reserve's holding, oh, it's like 2-point-something million or billion ounces, troy ounces of gold. And that is actually what backs the dollar. It's not collateralized. You can't trade your dollar in for the gold, but that's what is actually backing the dollar. And that gold is specifically by statute has a value of $42.2222 or 2/9 cents. $42.29. That's the actual value of gold. I don't care what the Rothschilds say is the market value, the popular value, whatever. By statute, the only gold that matters is the gold that is held by the Federal Reserve on behalf of the government, which is at a statutory price of $42.29. That price has not changed since the inception of the Federal Reserve. So, you know, we are, like I said, we're completely snuffed. We're complete nincompoops when it comes to the actual information. And to me, if you think about it, the fact that the Fed has to come out and correct rumors of our creation really, really is the icing on the cake to me. That is the funniest part about it. It's like, man, you people, what is wrong with you? And I think they do that because no one's actually going to go and read it. They're like, let's just put it on our website. They don't read the Federal Reserve Act in the first place. They go to Alex Jones or G. Edward Griffin for their information. So, I mean, they could give away the keys to the kingdom and no one would see it.
Yeah. Okay, anyway,
that's my rant.
I need to thank you for the word crapgasm. I wrote that down while you were speaking. But what I have to ask you right now is tell us exactly the address of the website that you went to. When you say I went to the Federal Reserve, read it to me. Read across the screen what the web address is.
Give me a second here. I mean, you know, if you just type in Federal Reserve or Federal Reserve Act, it's going to go to their website. But and if you type the question, you know, is the Federal Reserve Act going to expire? It's going to go right to their website. It's not like it's hard to find. www.federalreserve.gov.
Okay, stop right there. Stop. Because in 2011, I was so upset by this topic, like you are. And, Clint, it's like it's after 10 o'clock in the morning. Is it time for your blood pressure pill?
No, I get passionate about it.
In 2011, I was so upset by this that I wanted to get to the bottom of it, and I was looking into, well, the Office of the Inspector General as it applies to the Federal Reserve. And the only way you can get there is federalreserve.gov. And see, you and I had a private conversation about how you were going to set up a website for your straw man thing. And if you don't mind, tell that story about, like, the different dot whatevers and what they mean.
Yes.
Remember that?
I called, I think it was GoDaddy or one of those websites, I can't remember, but I was like, you know, I want a non-profit, completely non-commercial website. Can you tell me? And I got the runaround, and you know, .com is commerce, you know, so I don't want a .com commerce if I'm doing something that's non-commercial. Net was an option, but it's still a commercial thing, and I can't remember what the net actually stands for. There's .org, which people think are like a non-profit, but that's the kind of non-profit that is 501c3 or that kind of thing. And then finally we whittled it down to the only actual thing that would be considered not a trade or commerce or whatever, which was .info, which is why I use only strawmanstory.info, because the info, it's just information. It's not an expectation of anything. There's no service. There's no exchange of anything, including currency. There's nothing. It's just information. And so I'll post my book on that site, not on my blog, because it's .info and nothing else. Nothing else connects to it, right? So it can't be mistaken as anything other than information. It's not a publication. It's not any. It's just information. Here you go.
And it's low cost. I mean, you might pay like what, $20 a year? Or
oh yeah. Oh, you can't. No, it's so unpopular. You don't want that one. Well, actually, that's the only one you want, unless you're selling something and you're part of the system. You only want .info, as far as my personal study and opinion, which most people apparently take as not a good one. So I, you know, it's just
Just so if anybody's thinking that, you know, poor and Clint, and I've spoken with Clint about this before, that poor Woodrow Wilson was duped into this takeover of the monetary system in America. Again, that did not happen either. He is related to the. I guess the thing here is that they want you to think something like, ooh, these bankers, but when it's actually, and again, I found this out through, Clint's research, this is a family business. It's a family business, and in order to protect the family, they have to, you know, they have to deflect and make it look like there's these, entities that are in control of our Congress, and he signed it on, you know, Christmas Eve, 19 such and such, when Congress was, you know, drinking eggnog and, putting stars on Christmas trees.
Total lie. Absolute crap.
So, six-pointed stars.
The presidents, they're victims of this as well.
Now, you can tell. Sorry, you can go to newspapers, you can go to the actual House records, and you can see the voting.
Right.
The voting records, which was 282 to 85, and 54 to 34 in the Senate. These are perfectly legitimate numbers, no different than any other time that Congress votes. Yes, there were some congressmen that were not present, which is called absentee voting, which is the most popular thing ever. In one of my blogs, I put the Texas legislature, where you see more empty seats than actual seats filled, and you see these legislators actually doing something illegal, which is turning around and voting like four or five different times, rushing to the seats to actually vote before another congressman does. This is completely illegal.
Wow.
Being shown on television, and nothing is done about it. Why? Because they're sovereign. You don't charge Congress with a crime. I mean, come on. They legislate themselves. There is no overlord of the overlords. So, you know, there's nothing strange at all. And if all congressmen, this is the most important part, this is the point I make, if all the congressmen and all the senators were to have actually shown up and voted no, the Federal Reserve Act would have still passed. There was no Christmas dinner. There was no late night. There was no creature from Jekyll Island. There was simply an act to create the third central bank system. The third. Okay? It's not like it was the first one. You know, it's just another central bank. And there you go. If they would have shown up to vote, there it still would have passed. That's the record. You can't lie. You can't, you know, you can't look at it and say, oh, well, the record must be fake.
Now, what about the story that a number of people that were anti-Federal Reserve died on the Titanic?
I have no idea about that.
That might be the next one, man. That could be another rant there.
What relevance can that possibly have?
No, right? I know. They were against the Federal Reserve, so they sunk the boat that never...
But no one asked the actual question that matters. Were they congressmen? Because would a banker have voted for the Federal Reserve? No. Only Congress voted. So who cares who died on the frickin' Titanic? Who cares if aliens come down and probe us in the ass so bad that we die as long as Congress is there to vote for the damn bill? As long as Congress didn't die on the boat, who cares? You see, these are all
the alien probe bill.
These are all just tricks to make you to take you away from the source. Everything is about source. If you don't go to the source, then you're probing yourself.
FederalReserve.gov. And what I'm trying to say here is 5 years ago, I simply found FederalReserve.gov, and I knew instantaneously that it could not be a private corporation because it was under the .gov umbrella. And I quit looking into the Federal Reserve in 2011 because everybody was saying it's a private corporate entity. It can't be if it's .gov. It's that simple.
Right. I mean, and you know that because non-governmental organizations, NGOs, which everybody should be familiar with at this point, all these private associations, they do not use the .gov. They use the .org, which is why I won't use it, because that signifies that it's basically a for-profit that calls itself a non-profit. It's non-governmental agencies cannot use the .gov thing, which is why the Federal Reserve uses .gov. Thank you, Patrick. See, this is
the beautiful part about it was, in 2011, all I was looking for was the Office of the Inspector General. That's what put me down that trail. And I found out that even though the Federal Reserve operates within government as a separate entity, they have the ability to appoint their own Inspector General. So it's like, we're going to pick a fox to watch the hen out. It's so beautiful. And what you had said, Clint, was when the guy was, you know, before Congress and they asked him a specific question and he says, I will not answer that. If he had answered it, he would be in contempt of Congress and he would be charged with a crime.
Exactly.
He was just doing what he was told to do, man.
Oh, Patrick, he was being lawless. He was being an arrogant bastard. No, he would have gone to jail if he would have answered that question. And that's the point. So you
he was protecting his testes, man.
Exactly. You mentioned the quote by Wilson. I am most unhappy man. I have unwittingly ruined my country, which doesn't actually exist. What does exist is his quote from a book he wrote in 1913 where he does talk about the Federal Reserve. But you got to understand, man, Wilson ran his campaign on the creation of the Federal Reserve Bank. He was very much for the bank. He never regretted it. It's all – someone created that quote. It's a false quote. The quote actually comes from his 1913 page 185 of The New Freedom, The New Freedom by Woodrow Wilson, 1913, printed in December of 1913, Doubleday, Page & Company. The New Freedom compromises the campaign speeches and promises of Woodrow Wilson in the 1912 presidential campaign. Also, it was copyrighted in 1913. So obviously, you got this, he did not say, I'm a most unhappy man. That is a absolute addition. It has, or I unwittingly ruined my country. That comes from nowhere. No one can find the source for that. Someone like Suzanne Postel added it. Okay? To give you an example of how that is parroted by Jones and his documentaries, by others, Bill Still is another example. Again, parroting what he hears, never verifying the quotes. And I'm a victim of that, too. Don't get me wrong, man. I've quoted court cases. Turns out that it's nowhere to be found in the actual court case, and people have pointed it out to me because I trusted somebody that sent me the quote. But, of course, why would you trust anybody that sends you something that was sent to them, right? On The Money Masters, popular documentary, The Money Masters, here's what Bill Still says, right? Despite these warnings, Woodrow Wilson signed the 1913 Federal Reserve Act. And then he says, a few years later, he wrote, I am an a most unhappy man. I have unwittingly ruined my country. America, freedom to fascism. The quote was, I am a most unhappy man. I have unwittingly ruined my country. And then he goes into what was written in the book. So Bill Still says a couple years later, well, wait a minute. What you're talking about, the quote you're reading is actually from his book in 1913. You're saying he said it in 1916, right? Another example. Mr. Russo, Aaron Russo, who, again, everybody falls down and wants to suck off. Mr. Russo also, he twisted this quote, which was Bill Clinton, and this was the quote in the movie. He says, and it's just false. We can't be so fixated on our desire to preserve the rights of ordinary Americans. That's the quote. And he puts a period after Americans, as if it's the end of the sentence. And he lists it. Bill Clinton, March 11th, 1933. What he actually said on March 1st, 1993, was that we can't be so fixated on our desire to preserve the rights of ordinary Americans to legitimately own handguns and rifles. It's something I strongly support. We can't be so fixated, etc., etc., etc. So he takes the first part of a sentence, cuts it off, puts a period on it, and makes Bill Clinton sound even more evil than he actually is. We can't be so fixated on our desire to preserve the rights of ordinary Americans, period. You see how we are manipulated by these quote-unquote truthers, these documentary makers, when in fact all they're doing is, whether, again, they're useful idiots or purposeful agents, they're misleading us at every step. And we have developed an entire movement, an entire quote-unquote info war around these frauds. And we love it. That's the problem. That's what I've discovered, is that people love the lie more than the reality, because the reality is much more painful than the truth. The reality is much more painful than the truth.
It's like a rotten, layered onion. And then it's just rotting on the outside. The next one is, you know, and then as you get to if you can get through all the rot, maybe there's something to salvage in there for your omelet.
Ooh, yuck, man.
Maybe there's something to salvage. And so there was also, and this probably is maybe another layer of rotting deception, that he was also poisoned by these same conspirators, because he was speaking out against it, you know, post being deceived into signing it.
Which conspirators?
That's one of the layers of it, that he was duped into signing the Federal Reserve Act, and then when he spoke out about it, that they had poisoned him.
I suppose we're back to the quote unquote bankers, right? It was the bankers that did it.
Well, no, I mean as another layer of it. So not only did they make it seem like they're an outside entity that, you know, was now in control of government outside of government, but because he continued to speak about it, if in fact he did or didn't, that he was poisoned and then died.
He was very, very proud of himself, make no mistake. But, I mean, here again, we're going to use the famous term, right, like Casper the Friendly Ghost. The bankers did it. It's always the bankers. What do you mean the bankers didn't do anything but what Congress allows them to do? No one in government does anything but what Congress allows them to do. Until you get that through your head, until people start understanding that the only enemy is the very thing that you keep protecting, that you keep being patriotic about, that you keep feeling sorry for as if they're idiots. And, of course, to think George Bush, for instance, Jr., was an idiot when just 5 years before he was the most brilliant orator you've ever seen when he was pitching himself for governor. You know, if you think these people are stupid or idiots, it shows what an idiot you are for falling for a Hollywood act.
Thank you. I mean,
Bush deserves, of all the actors, Bush deserves the Academy Award. I mean, just a few years before he was president, and you'll see that you are being duped in every way, shape, and form. But as long as you think that Bush is stupid, then you're going to think everything he does is just a stupid, you know, tantrum from a child. It's not true. Everything he did was very calculated. And that's why you, today, under the Patriot Act and all this other crap, you are absolutely screwed because you think these guys are just stupid idiots. Right. That don't. I mean, they have utterly created a prison. And you think they're stupid. They've robbed you of everything. Not just money, but your land, your prosperity. They've robbed you of everything. Oh, but they're stupid. We have George Bush to prove they're stupid. Oh, Obama's, no, he's not the brightest guy. He's just a black guy. No, he's a white guy, but okay. You know, the whole thing, the whole truth movement is untrue. That's the point I'm trying to make.
And Mel, you said, like in this conversation I had with this young woman last night, she said, as I was telling her some of these things, she said, but what about capitalism?
What about it?
And I said, well, I said you have to look at capitalism as, you know, a way for people to be able to create a business and then create jobs for other people. But I said what the government has done, you know, has, you know, really kind of created a crony system, which they have controlled for many years. And then they decide when they end capitalism and then they start bringing in the memes saying that capitalism is the reason that we got into this mess. And now we have to change it into something else.
Right. Here's
Jolly, I can destroy that with the Constitution. I got it in front of me.
That's what it seems. You know that they will. They have these systems that they will eventually demonize, then to be able to get to their, to be able to transform it into, you know, the, like Clint said in his blog post, the old order just becoming, you know, the new order again when the deck is reshuffled.
I think the Secretary of the Navy, retired, was on a television show being interviewed. And he said categorically, and I thought, my God, how the hell did he get away with this? He says, there is no such thing as free trade, and I can prove it. And he said, you go to Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, and it says the Congress has power to, and the whole list of stuff, including to regulate commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're regulating commerce, there is no such thing as free trade. So then whence cometh capitalism?
Okay, so what is capitalism? So, you know, again, ask the correct question.
What is
capitalism? And when you look, you'll see that capitalism, as defined in the legal dictionaries, it actually tells you that capitalism is not a legal term. It's a nickname. It doesn't mean anything. But what it's referring to is the Latin terms capita, as in per capita, right? Capitalism, capital being the head of something. Well, the capita means per head. So when you're counting your cattle, you don't count them by name. Count them by head or capita. What is capitalism? You see, this is what people don't understand. You are being used as human capital. It's human capital management. That's what capitalism is. It's human capital management. It's slavery. All right? No matter what romantic version you want to put on it, it has to do with the control, taxation, registration, etc., incorporation, the fiction of government over trade, over commerce, just like you read from the Constitution. Of course, they have the right to regulate all imports and exports and interstate commerce. And see, this is the other aspect, is you don't realize this, but because we are all United States citizens, we live, as in our person, lives in and has domicile in the United States only. That means that whatever state we are in, private state, in other words, we are all foreigners in any state that we live in or reside, have residence in. Remember, the word res means thing. It doesn't mean man. It means thing. So residence, to have residence somewhere. Our domicile, where we're dominated or in domicilium, is the United States jurisdiction, which extends over basically the whole world at this point. And so we're always in interstate commerce, and therefore Congress has the right. Absolutely. I don't argue this. I don't hate it. I don't deny it anymore, because it's just a true statement that Congress has the right to regulate interstate commerce. If I'm a United States citizen and I'm a foreigner in the state, I'm committing interstate commerce. Period. End of story. There's no argument against that. Unless you just want to, you know, it's the same arguments you have against the Federal Reserve. It's your opinion versus their law over their persons, which you are participating in, you are renting. You follow the law of their person if you're a United States citizen. That's how it works. I'm sorry. I don't care what people's opinion are. I don't even care what my opinion is anymore. It sucks. I hate it. It's despicable. It's deceiving, it's conniving, it's fraud in every way, shape, or form, but that doesn't mean anything because fraud and despicableness and deceit are perfectly legal.
Hey, can I throw a monkey wrench from like the fifth floor into all this? Just to expand what you opened up, Clint, like probably in the first half of this show. Do you mind, Sholly?
No, go ahead, yeah.
This is where it all broke for me, because Clint had said something. A government cannot exist without secrets. And the other thing that is, like, annoying to me is they'll talk about the ancient mysteries religion and go, they're a secret society. But then logic intervenes and goes, well, how could, like, the Freemasons or the mysteries religion be a secret society if you know about them? So when you do what Clint and I do, when you do what Clint and I do, is you go to the damn word, and you find out that mystery means secret. So it's not that the society was in the dark and the cabal kept in secret. It meant that it was a secret society because it was the mystery's religion, and so it was a society of the secret. I hope I've explained that clearly so that idiots can get it. It's not a secret, like, small s society. It's a noun. It's a society of the secret. So I got this book that I never read, 768 pages long, called Secrets of the Temple. And this is so significant to everything that we're talking about. How the Federal Reserve runs the country. 1987. You got it? Written by William Grider. And it was on. This is the best part, man, because like Clint and I, we're like the chroniclers of all of the crimes that have been committed on this planet. And we're not getting paid for it. This guy was on the freaking New York Times bestseller list. And he supposedly was telling you the secrets of the temple, which is actually, it's a pet name for the Federal Reserve. And I got looking into it deeper, and it's like, well, wait a minute. Why do they call it the temple? And on that path, I'm going to try to like breeze through this because I'm just dying to hear Clint's comments on this. When I was writing my book, Rise and Fall of Kingdom Plantae, I fell across this association that the phrase health is wealth had its roots in the fact that the Public Health Service of the United States of America is nested under the Treasury Department. So you look at CH, that might be Chapter 77 of 1 Stat 605, and people can look this stuff up. It gave authority to Marine hospitals, which were military, to provide services to American merchant Marines, which is commercial. And so the entire hospital system was a military operation organized under the Treasury. And what I always try to get people to realize is, don't think compartmentally. Don't think, oh, that's just the Fed. Oh, that's just the Treasury. Oh, that's just the DOD. Man, it's the same monster, different head. Because in 1930, go ahead.
Continuum.
Oh, yeah, thank you. 1930, the Treasury Department was studying venereal disease. And then that, you know, these are the dominoes that just get this series of questions of, well, why the hell were they doing that?
Well,
I'm going to read you. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Going to read you some quotes from a book that, to me, put it all in perspective. I'll try to do this quickly. The population in Babylonia and Chaldea was not, as Assyria, one single unmixed race. On the contrary, it was essentially mixed and contained, as we have already said, Cushite, Turanian, and Shemitic elements. So the three sons of Noah, imposed as were one over the other. Thence arose in all such cases the distinction of castes, unequal in rank and devoted to certain defined occupations. The superior and dominant caste, entirely exclusive, was composed of the Chaldeans. These were the ancient black magicians, properly so-called, who we have already attempted to show were strangers and the conquerors of the Turanian race. They had obtained exclusive possession of all priestly functions. Now, remember, I opened this line of inquiry with the Fed being called the temple. So now I'm bringing I don't take missions out to Jupiter and back without a reason. We're talking about exclusively possession of all priestly functions and use them so as to govern the state. There has never been, we're talking 5 to 6,000 years ago, there has never been, listen to me, never been separation of church and state. Classical writers give us some detail on their organization, function, and power. The Chaldeans, this is a quote, are the most ancient of the Babylonians. They formed in the state a body resembling priests in Egypt. Set apart for following up the worship of the gods, they passed their whole life in meditation on philosophical subjects and had acquired great reputation in astrology. They attempted to avert evil and procure good fortune. And I know Clint could be all over that like stink on shit. Either by purifications or by sacrifices or by enchantments. The learning of the Chaldeans was a family tradition. The son inherited this from his father, was exempt from all taxes.
Shocking.
That is the key. If you're paying taxes, that means you are a servant to the occupiers. These people that set up this religious state were in the most violent form of the word sovereign. They, and this is what Clint says, the creator controls. They created this monster. They control it utterly.
Yeah. So, Patrick, it's amazing, man, because we're always on the same. It's like we have, you know, a direct line or something to our brain. But, well, first of all, here's the greatest secret of all. To me, of all the things I've found, I think this is the greatest, most enlightening secret there is. And that is that the treasury is money is you know it's like Walmart sells a bunch of different things or enough, you know, it sells furniture, it sells garden stuff, it sells housewares. Money is one of those sort of aisles in Walmart. Money is very, very, very much low on the spectrum of importance when it comes to the secrets or the very power that they hold. Now, money is a fantastic tool. It is mammon. It causes us to value life itself in money instead of, well,
yeah,
life. Okay? But the word treasury has a very different meaning than what you actually have ever been told. If you look it up, you can verify this. The word treasury means thesaurus, and thesaurus means treasury. What they're really guarding, the greatest secret of all, is that the real wealth is in words.
Right.
Okay? Words are the big money. Words are, if you control the words, you control the people who use the words, especially the noun, the name, the person, place, or thing. The greatest secret of all is that the word treasury means thesaurus, and that the actual property that is most valuable to these people is their terms of art, their words that they define, they create, and they put into practice, and then create the decisions on what those words mean in their own court. And the word court means bank.
Right.
Bench means.
I was hoping we'd get there.
Right. So, what is the importance of the secret? The secret is literally everything. Let me read you a couple quotes here. Masonry, this is Albert Pike. Unfortunately, I have Morals and Dogma. A friend of mine gave it to me, and so I can verify these quotes now, whereas before I just had to trust people who gave me the quotes. Page 104 and 105 of Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike. And this says it all right here, you know. Again, think of the truth movement when I read this, when everybody's talking about Masonry and what they know about Masonry, even though they've never even been to a meeting or a meeting hall. Masonry, like all religions, all the mysteries, hermeticism, and alchemy, conceals its secrets from all except the adepts and sages, or the elect, and uses false explanations and misinterpretations of its symbols to mislead those who deserve only to be misled. To conceal the truth, capitalized, which it calls as light, capitalized, from them, and to draw them away from it. Truth is not for those who are unworthy or unable to receive it, or would pervert it. So God himself incapacitates many men by color blindness to distinguish colors, and leads the masses away from the highest truth, giving them the power to attain only so much of it as is profitable to them to know. Every age has had a religion suited to its capacity. The teachers, even of Christianity, are in general, I love this, the most ignorant of the true meaning of that which they teach. There is no book of which so little is known as the Bible, which is what I've discovered. To most who read it, it is as incomprehensible as the Zohar. So Masonry jealously conceals its secrets and intentionally leads conceited interpreters astray. Now the Bible has a lot to say about conceit. It says, don't fall for men's conceit. Don't, the dog always returns to eat its own vomit, basically, is what it talks about. And it's referring to people in the truth movement. You know, we love our own truths. They're not real. They're fictions, but we love the lie. Right? So, and of course, you know, you find out, you know, George Washington University, their website says, aside from being named after America's most famous Freemason, it's notable that Freemasonry and the Scottish Rite have developed historical connections to George Washington University, which is where a lot of politicians come from, etc., etc. Right? I got one more quote I want to read you. This is from Greg Hallett, Joseph Gregory Hallett, the hidden king of England. Pretty fascinating stuff. This is a quote in the Hidden King of England, Arma Christi, as in Christ, unveiling the rose. Again, under the rose means something that is secret, by the British exile arch, etc. A secret is one of the privileges of power and a sign that one shares in that power. It is all linked to the notion of a treasure. Again, what is treasure? But words. And it has its guardians. It is a source of anxiety because of the inner burden it imposes upon both those who carry it, the secret, and those who fear it, which is us. The secret of secrets was the art of making the philosopher's stone. Philosophers kept the secret to themselves because of its very excellence. or society itself would be troubled and overturned. And, you know, when you start looking at the word secret, you go to secretary, which is secretus in Latin, or secret, a confidant, one entrusted with secrets. What do you think the Secretary of State is? That goes back to clerk or clerk of the court, which is also a secretary or a secret keeper. This is why you can never actually talk to the court clerk, only the secretaries of the clerks, the court clerks. Let's see, the clerk of the court versus the court clerks, which are secretaries. So I have a whole bunch of different quotes about secrets, but I'll just leave it there. You get the idea. It's crazy when you really get to the bottom of what is it that causes a kingdom to be so powerful, and it is the secrets. And the biggest secret, of course, is the true meaning of the words they use.
So let's go to bank and temple. And it'll bring us to the Fed. Here's another most important quote that I put in, my book, Rise and Fall of Kingdom Animalia. This peculiarity of the old Akkadian law is so much the more worthy of attention, not only because we find nothing similar in the Shemitic world, but because it is directly opposed to the spirit of some posterior Babylonian institutions, as revolting to morality as they were degrading to womankind, yet consecrated by religion, and as far as I can see, of Cushite origin. So we're still within the three tribes of sons of Noah. I refer to the sacred prostitution, which was imposed once, at least in lifetime, upon all women, even those who were free, and the marriage of young girls under the form of a public auction, rendering it an act of mancipatio, which made the wife the property of her husband. Now, if you just follow the sacred prostitution angle, and people can look this up, in Babylonia and in Carthage, they had central temples, because temples usually were in the center of the city. So you got a central bank, you got a central temple. And what they would do is, as an act of worship, because sex magics is the highest form of the dark arts, they would have sacred prostitution. They would have sex with the temple prostitute and then give a donation to the temple. So the temple became a bank, if you will, for the cash, or they held a cachet, C-A-C-H-E, of money for services. And, you know, thank you for your service to your country is what they say of soldiers, and you go to church services. Well, these services were prostitution services that were rewarded in money, given to the banks, and the banks were like, overflowing with literal money and objects of exchange. This is the temple. That's why they call the Federal Reserve the temple, because it arose out of Babylonian prostitution, black magic, sex magic. And nobody pays attention to that.
So, crazy stuff.
Well, you know.
And we've been fucked ever since. Had to throw that in there.
It's apparently been going on for quite some time now.
5,000 to 6,000 years. No separation of church and state. Never has been. And see, this is what Clint and I have been saying for so long, is they lied to you with a straight face.
So
they have no compunction about it. Separation of church and state. My ass.
Well, let's clear up again. What does the word mean? You are right, Fetch, but you're also wrong, because you don't know you don't know the treasure of words. You don't know what's under the rose, right? So what does it mean? How many people have you known, Patrick, that are married but separated?
Oh yeah, half the world.
Are they still under contract of marriage?
You better believe it.
Well, then what does separation of church and state mean? It means, hey, I'm going to justify my existence as a state through my church, but I'm going to take that moral scriptural law of the church, and I'm going to put it, basically, I'm going to lock it up in a closet, and I'm going to keep it away from my legal or commercial side, my mammon, and I'm going to, you know, basically keep them separated so that one doesn't affect the other. Because if I had to obey the church, then I couldn't do anything. I wouldn't be, if I actually paid attention to the Bible, none of this would actually be happening. So I have to instead separate the moral and the legal, which means opposed to moral or opposed to God or opposed to nature or opposed to man or opposed to whatever, opposed to nature, opposed to reality. I have to separate my legal state from my religious law, because if I act religiously, then I actually have to obey that law. But if I act legally, so if I separate those two, they're still married. They're still interdependent on each other. The church and the state are one, essentially. But I've separated them in a way that they're still married, but I ignore the half. Because if I don't separate them, then it would be, to give an example, it would be like oil and water suddenly being blended so that there's no, you can't, you know, they're not separated anymore.
So, I mean, it kind of is like, you know, with the Fed, how they deceive and make it look like the Federal Reserve is completely independent. They're their own entity and they control our government. It's the same way with you got your church and state, whereas they separate that. And then you can say, well, you know, that's what they're doing over there. That's got very little to do with what's going on over here, but in fact, they can't exist without each other. They both can't exist without each other.
You got to think of the church not as a building, not as a temple, etc., not as a physical thing. You got to think of the church as the law, not as, you know, when they say separation of church and state, in this country, all that means is they didn't actually have a specific church or a specific religion or denomination. Instead, they put the Bible into the common law and said, well, here you go. Either you have a choice. You know, they're separate. You can either follow the Bible, the common law, or you can come into our legal system of mammon and totally screw yourself.
And Clint, didn't you read directly from the Federal Reserve website that they said that they were part of the government but separate? Didn't they use just that language?
Yeah, they made the distinction that we're independent within government, but not
independent within. Which, you know, I would be so liberal as to say that's separate.
Sure.
As you defined it.
Sure. Absolutely.
And Sholly, you know, the beautiful part of it is they didn't really lie. They allowed people to create these elaborate fictions about them. And so at some point, they just basically said, we're part of the government, but separate. And all of these, like, I love the term mockingbirds, because that's like that's a CIA MK program. All these mockingbirds then took it, amplified it, and ran with it. And you've got, like, an entire mythos built up that became the lie. And just mildly, they disabuse people of that by putting out a passive thing on the website that only intelligent people would go to, because apparently the mockingbirds aren't even going to the website, to dissuade people of the lies that they created for themselves.
And it has to
and so black magic is illusion. People are, like, deceiving themselves. You got to know they're laughing their asses off at everybody.
Yeah, it's just laziness. It's laziness to just say, okay, there's, you know, that all these people here, and then we, you know, we give, you know, these flattering titles, and I mean, it we know doctor, lawyer, and things like that, but, and then it also trickles down into this truth movement where Alex Jones is a, you know, he's a title. He's where people give. They say, well, this guy cares, and if he cares, then I'm with him, and, you know, I learned a lot, you know, and all this other stuff. So it's, you know, it's the rules are there, and I think that's why he says a lot of the times, oh, you know, don't listen to me, do this, because he knows he's kind of deceiving you, or if he, you know. He even said at one point in this one clip that his family was involved with the CIA. That he dropped this like little blurb, and it was like, what did he just say? So I think he's gotten to the point now where he's just ready to come out of his own truther closet.
He's done his job.
He has. And even like right here, I've got a number of news sites up over here on Drudge/Mossad News. Alex Jones slams Glenn Beck, psychopath who wants to be a cult leader. And then it's not a link to an article. It's a link directly to a YouTube video. So, I mean, it's taken on this whole, you know, InfoWars thing has taken on a whole new kind of thing with him and Drudge kind of morphing together in a certain way. Cause they're ultimately they're totally controlled by the same.
Yeah.
What you just described, Charlie, was what I call proof of concept of total domination. If Alex Jones could say, oh, yeah, you know, my family was involved in the CIA op, and nobody responds to it, that means that his audience is so hypnotized that he could say, I am the Antichrist, and they go, oh, yeah, can we help?
Right. You know, I'll say this, too. You know, when So towards the end of my show, after a little more than two years, you know, 400 and something shows, at that point, all I was doing was pretty much exposing people as frauds, you know, even people on my own network, RBN. And one of those persons was Bob Tuscan, whose real name is actually Ryan Katz. Everybody goes by these false names. And, you know, trying to hide his Zionist, his true nature. And immediately when Bob, they actually got rid of Bob Tuscan for a little while and then brought him back. Immediately he calls me up. He says, yeah, our GCN just offered me a spot on their,
oh, wow.
On their thing. And I'm like, you know, that's, of course they did because all their sponsors are Jewish. All their, you know, everything is Jew. And when I say Jew, I want to clarify. That I mean what the Bible means, which is those who call themselves Jews but are not the synagogue of Satan or that which is adversarial to truth, that which is adversarial to everything, life itself, right? That's what I mean when I say that word. I want to clarify that because the true Jewish people, just like the true followers of Christ, would have nothing to do with Israel or any nation whatsoever. They would not be... They would follow the Bible, in other words. They would not be part of anything political, legal. So I want to clarify that when I say that, I don't mean true religion. I mean false. Everything is false. Jews are false. They're not Jews at all. They're Talmudic. Talmudic is the words of, you know, of horrible, horrible rabbis. So I do want to clear that up. There's a big difference. But... it's just, you know, I don't know what to say other than almost nobody has offered me a radio. This is what I want to say. Nobody, GCN didn't call me up and say, hey, we want you over here now that you're done with RBN. And I didn't leave RBN on any bad terms whatsoever. But nobody's calling me for a radio gig because the closer I get to reality, to truth, and exposing all these people, the less people want to have me on as a guest. You know, as long as I'm talking about something that's something I'm parroting from someone else, yeah, great.
Right.
You say it so well. But as soon as I start speaking, you know, that power to truth, oh, my God, nobody wants me. And I don't want to do radio except what I'm doing here with you. This is perfect. Once a week, maybe three, another show. Nobody's offering me a spot because it would ruin their business model. No one would buy gold if they heard what I had to say about gold. No one would buy horrible food. No one would buy any of the shit that they sell.
Not selling anything here at UCY, so I mean that's why we got about 20 seconds. So yeah, I mean, and we love having you guys on here, and there's nothing we're not hiding anything at UCY. Patrick, Clint, stand in line with me after the end here, and thanks for everybody for hanging out, listening today to the real information, the real hard-hitting information.
Apologies for my potty mouth.